Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 48, the first four stanzas. All ye that fear Jehovah's name, his glory tell, his praise proclaim. Ye children of his chosen race, stand ye in awe before his face, stand ye in awe before his face. 1-4 of Psalter 48.
wish to read this afternoon in that which can be found in the Gospel according to John, thereof the 5th chapter. But before that, the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 5, the first 16 verses. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed, and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed, and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, they could all be gathered round that pool, but they had to wait for the stirring of the waters. Therein thou didst make evident that thou wast present, and with thy healing power, and outside of thy healing power, men continued to lay in his misery. And it is so with each and every one of us also on this thy holy day. And for thou knowest all our wretchedness, as we have been born into this world, as we have been born as under our covenant head Adam, thou knowest our nature, thou knowest our corruption, thou knowest our iniquity, Thou knowest the inclination of our hearts. Thou knowest our motives, our desires, and what the love of our heart is. And then there is nothing that is from us that thou canst call clean. But thou lookest this day, even as so many years ago, from heaven thy dwelling place, and seest the sons of men, that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Oh, that thou may also open our eyes by thy power, that we also may know what our misery and our wretchedness is, as we have heard it out of the writings of our instructors in the weeks that have gone by, out of thy holy law. And then our sin is to be known, and because it directs us to a perfect obedience, and we can bring forth nothing but disobedience, that we sin against thee each and every moment of our life. Lord, thou knowest our bondage. It is not that from which we can deliver ourselves. But thou hast said, though thou hast lain among the pots, yet thou shalt be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. And then thou wilt deliver thy children from the bondage of sin and of Satan and of misery and of this world. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord God of heaven and of earth, and that thou may do so also in the days in which we live with our dear children and families. We cannot miss it. For of ourselves we have entered in through that wide gate, and we walk upon a broad way, and the end thereof is an everlasting destruction, and we have no desire for any different way. Who would now choose to enter in through a narrow way, to walk on a narrow way? O Lord, we beseech thee, become too strong for us and for our children. O that thou thyself may remember us in thy holy house. Thou dost say that those whom thou dost choose and thou bringest in thy house shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. Lord, they shall be satisfied with marrow and with fatness, and that cannot be found here in this world, that we may feel and experience something of our leanness, that we cannot exist in this world, that we may feel something of the vanity of the carnality of this life, quickly passing to our long home. Oh, that thou may cause our hearts to burn in this very day, in this very hour, under the power of thy Holy Spirit, with new and holy desires and longings, hungerings and thirstings which do not lie in us by nature. And then it can only be as thy bride did say, when thou wouldst draw her, then we will run after thee. And so thy church does exclaim, Lord, turn us, and we shall be turned, for we have a great responsibility for which we are accountable at thy throne, but we cannot fulfill it because of our dead state and condition. But there is power with thee, and therefore we beseech it of thee, Lord, and thou art sitting upon thy throne, high and lifted up. But we can also read in thy word that thou from that high and holy place dost behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. O thou lookest upon the sons of men, and could it please thee to look also upon us, not in thy wrath in this afternoon hour, to say that you have again in the week that has gone by, desired nothing of me, to leave me well enough in my place. And then I leave you also in your place, and I leave you in your wretchedness and in your misery. Oh, we cannot make it, Lord, any different. And we confess it unto thee, but we ask of thee that thou would make it different in our hearts and lives in this hour and in this day, the day set apart by thee, and that thou wouldst work in the heart of a man to draw him unto thyself. Oh, that thou would glorify the work of thy dear Son, who has paid such a high price. Lord, what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And when thou wouldst leave us now, shall the dead praise thee? Oh, but when thou wilt raise us up and give us a new life, then there shall be honor and glory unto thy great and holy name. And then thy dear Son shall be desired, and then he shall be glorified and magnified by us to a great and never-ending eternity. Oh, that thou wouldst then remember what he has done, and may it be for his sake to gather in yet a remnant among us, and that also amongst young and old there may be those who are not able of themselves, but who may by a true and a living faith receive that blessedness that thou hast promised unto thy people, in and through him in whom thou art so well pleased. O Lord, glorify thyself, magnify the work of thy Holy Spirit. We can read in thy word of a people who did say, "Come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul." And when it would be so heard in our midst, and then also that work of thy Spirit would be magnified and glorified. Is it not, O Lord, is it not thy great and then purpose to magnify thy great and holy name? O Lord, then it is that it shall be magnified in our judgment, that is so. But shall it not be much more magnified in thy mercy and in thy grace, and what all that thou hast done in all eternity, even to elect the people unto thyself, and to draw them and to work it out from the beginning and unto the end. And then thou shalt be magnified as the Alpha and as the Omega, as the beginning and the ending. Remember thy children, and then they have to say that it is not only for the first time, but it is also by renewal, and that they need that those waters are stirred, because they have no power not only to begin that work, but they have no power to maintain it, and they have no power to bring it unto an end, to finish it. Everything so dependent upon thee. Oh, give them in this hour to feel something of thy nearness, of thy presence, and a little increase in that blessed faith that thou hast planted in their hearts. As thy servants did ask, Lord, increase our faith. Remember all those that have special needs. We have heard their names in this morning hour. Those that are at home or those that are in the hospitals. And there are also others, children, young people. Thou knowest where there is also widows, a widower in our midst. Lord, thou knowest all in each and every one. And thou knowest the place where they are. And thou art the guardian of the poor. Oh, that thou may remember all that stand in need of help, and that thou may show thyself in their need. Do remember our denomination. Increase the number of thy truly sent servants. Thou knowest how that Satan wreaks havoc also among us. Oh, then he would have us to depart from thee and thy truth. And there is no man that can sustain the church but thee. O Lord, wilt thou sustain it from above? And wilt thou increase the number of thy people? Oh, that there may be truth experienced in the inward parts, and that there may be converted fathers and mothers, teachers in our school, and that there may be converted office bearers and ministers, and so that we may receive a great humbling before thee. Wilt thou remember us also in the meetings that will take place in this week when thou wilt give it? Lord, thou knowest the need of our schools. Oh, we beseech thee from heaven above, and that thou wouldst look upon us and help us, and that thou would be in our midst to direct everything for our welfare, and deal not with us as we so justly deserve. But wilt thou watch over and protect us, and wilt thou prosper our schools, and that it may it be in thy truth. And wilt thou supply for all those that do bring thy word. And wilt thou supply for those that rule and reign over us. Thou knowest also the nations in which we are living, and they are great nations. But we have also committed great sin. And thou knowest how greatly we have departed from thy holy word. Oh, then we ask for great judgments. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, for great mercies, that thou wouldst look on us in thy mercy, and deal not with us according to our sins, but to stop us upon our mad career. Turn us once again to thy law and to thy testimonies. And where there is a drought, where there are many fires, oh, we beseech, Lord, as we have heard in this morning hour, that it may also be as nations, that we do not say why, but that we say whereto. Oh, that we may be brought upon our knees before thee. Wilt thou humble us as a people under thy great goodness, and wilt thou cause us to turn again? Look upon each and every one, young and old, also in these weeks where there is no school, that thou would watch over our children and our young people. Keep from accidents upon the farms, in the homes, and by the way. And wilt thou cause that we may be given to set ourselves aside also by times a little while. For a man, by wisdom, separateth himself and seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. O Lord, that we may so seek thee in thy word, as thou hast revealed thyself therein, and therein is to be found the only comfort in life and in death. Look on us in this hour. Lord, strengthen us in the body, and that we may be enabled to do this labor. May it be in thy good pleasure to give it more and more. Oh, that we may be given also to submit under all thy ways. But Lord, thou knowest that we have a desire, and that we may still do this work. But we cannot do it unless thou givest us strength for it. Lord, we ask it of thee, if it could please thee, to give us health and to give us strength again. Oh, to give us also patience, that we may submit to thee in every way wherein thou leadest us. But give us also thy spirit. Oh, that thou may instruct us too, Lord, because we are set as the instructor of this people. And we are of yesterday and we know nothing. Help us this hour. Show us what to speak and how to speak. And may it be a word that may enter into the heart of young and old together. Forgive, Lord. Oh, forgive and take away all that is amiss and sinful within and without. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 1, stanzas 1 through 5. That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet.
who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. At our last male members meeting, Mr. Brendan DeYoung was elected deacon. He has accepted this office. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, July the 28th. The last collection is for the Theological Student Support Fund, Psalter number 1. the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. That is, congregation, the glory of Christ. Heaven that will be filled with such people. They will sing of that. And they will say that it was Jesus that has made me whole. What do you think of Christ? Did you ever say this with this man to your mother, boys and girls, young people, to your father, to your children, to your friends? It was Jesus that made me whole. That is a song that does not begin in heaven. That is a song that begins here on the earth. And if we have never in our heart begun to sing this song here below, then we shall also not sing this song with this man in eternity. What a misery was at that pool of Bethesda. Impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, all kinds of misery. And there are many people that can tell you how that they were made whole. Shall we go to listen to some of them, boys and girls? Then one will say that I was there at that pool, and I was lying there in my sickness, whatever that may be. And those waters, they were stirred. And when those waters were stirred, then I made my way over to that pool. And I stepped down in that pool. And the moment that I stepped down in that pool, then I was made perfectly whole. And for another one, no, that didn't go so easy, because another one, he says, well, then I have tried, but one step down in front of me. And then I had to wait again. And the next time it was the same. And the next time it was the same. And I lay there for a long time. But finally, then I made it there the first. And then I was made whole. And now listen to this man. He says, it was Jesus that made me whole. What is now the difference? That man, he cannot tell about his deliverance, except that he speaks about Jesus. That is not now with the others. That name of Jesus that is missing. And why? Were they not also miserably sick? Certainly, you say. But there was in them still a certain ability that had to do with the application of that water that was so completely missing in the life of that impotent man. And that impotency was a very part, an integral part of the misery of that man. The fact that he was not only sick, but that he was also unable to help himself, even in the face of all that is before him, the deliverance that is set before him, unable to bring himself to it. And it is exactly this integral part of his wretchedness and of his misery that has so paved the way for the glory of Christ in the deliverance of this man, so that he would henceforth go from this place and speak about that name of Jesus. 38 years that man has suffered. 38 years that man had to experience what his wretchedness was. And he had to despair of his own self-help, until finally he was delivered and experiencing in his life that one-sided work of Christ. And now what this man had to experience is the lesson that the Lord is instructing his own children in. We heard of their wretchedness. Did you hear it? Do you remember it? Oh, that inability. That inability to keep that law of God, the perfection of the requirements of that law, and how men, he is not able to fulfill it. We have heard of that just punishment and the just judgment of God. We have heard of the necessary satisfaction of that justice. You would say, a man now. Man now, he is ready. He is ready for what? Oh, he is ready that before him may be placed, before him may be placed that mediator. Because now when he will only hear of that mediator, then he will run to him. Then he will embrace him. Congregation, our fathers say no. Do you believe that, young people? I know you hear it different from those who are around you. I know that sounds so nice for you. You say, is not that the way? Oh, it ought to be the way. That is how it ought to be. That a man, he is running unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is not the reality. It is not how it actually is. Because only ask the children of the Lord how that is in their own heart and how that is has gone in their own life. There is nothing. There is nothing in the heart of a man that is longing and that is looking unto that mediator that God has sent into the world, that only beloved of the Father. There is no form. There is no comeliness. Let our own heart testify of it in this day. No form, no comeliness in him. The reality is, that we need to learn something. That we need to learn our misery, but also our own helplessness to deliver ourselves out of our misery before that there will ever be room in our heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord's Day 5, only question 13. Lord's Day 5, question 13. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Answer, by no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. So far, our Lord's Day for this afternoon. Our theme is legalism relinquished. First, an earnest attempt. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Second, an inescapable acknowledgement. By no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Legalism relinquished. First, an earnest attempt. Second, an inescapable acknowledgement. Legalism relinquished. What is that? Legalism. That is something that is often cast into the teeth of the godly. That is very often, sadly also in our days, and sadly, congregation, let it never be among us, an accusation that is coming against a careful walk in this world. That has maybe come against you one time, young people, when you have said, there are things, my friends, there are things, no, I do not want to do them. You want me to go with you to the bar? I cannot do it. You want me to wear the clothing of a man, girls? You say, I cannot do it. You want me to paint my face? You say, maybe I cannot do it. And your friends, they say, well, you are just being legalistic. Maybe you have questioned yourself. Maybe you have said, maybe, are they right? Are they right? That is actually just a false sense, a false show of piety in this world when I will walk in this way. Is that so? Is strictness legalism? If strictness is legalism, then what did David mean when he said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes? I hate the work of them that turn aside. What did he mean? Was he being legalistic? When he said, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And the Apostle Paul, What did he mean then? When he said that a woman must adorn herself in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair and gold and pearls and costly array. Was Paul being legalistic? What did Jude mean then? When he said that we must hate even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. Was Jude being legalistic? Was Jude and Paul and David, were they being too precise? Strictness that is not legalism. Strictness in our walk. Strictness in our conversation. Strictness in our life. It is congregation, a crafty device of the devil to bring even into our families, to bring even into our churches, a loose walk, that we would walk along with all the customs that this world is following after. Oh, let us separate ourselves. Who of us can put our hand in our own bosom and take it out clean? Oh, let us try to separate ourselves from all the way that this world is walking, that we may live a plain life in this world, in all godliness and in all sincerity. No strictness that is not legalism. And yet, we may not deny that there is often legalism in the practice of our strictness. That is entirely possible. But legalism is something that we cannot see, because legalism is not an outward act. But legalism is something that is living in the heart of a man. Legalism is the motive for the act. And the same act may have different motives. Thus, legalism is the purpose, why we do something, or why we refrain from doing something. And that reason, that motive, that cannot be seen by our neighbor. The Lord Jesus could say to the Pharisees, you are being legalistic. But we cannot say that, because we cannot see the heart of one another. We may ask one another if we do not feel something of that legalism within our own heart. Legalism relinquished. What is legalism? That is addressed in this morning, in this afternoon, by our fathers. It is addressed in this question. And we have said that our fathers, they are laying out for us the truth of God's word in that way in which the Lord is leading all his people. And thus our fathers are recognizing that there is in the heart of that people something of that legalism living. Thus, when God is converting his children, then that legalism that is living within our natural heart that is not immediately gone. How do we know that? Well, that is what our fathers address here. We know that through that attempt of a man to make satisfaction ourselves, that congregation is legalism. To make satisfaction ourselves. And we have heard how that the Lord is convincing a man of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Were you ever so convinced? If so, then we also know what follows in a person's life. And what follows in a person's life? You say, then he looks unto Christ. Then he embraces Christ. If only it may be so. If only it would be so. But it is not so. What is then living in our heart? Well, congregation, then we are going to make it right again. When there is a breach, when there is a separation, and a man sees and he feels that separation, and he mourns and he grieves over that separation, then he says, now I am going to take that separation away. Now I am going to make it right again between God and my soul. Boys and girls, maybe you have once made your mother sad. And when you have made your mother sad, then you have said, now I am going to make it right again. And I am going to do my very, very best that sadness of my mother, that will now be taken away. And if the Lord will give you a new heart, boys and girls, that you are asking the Lord for every day again, then so it is going to be living in your heart, in your new heart. Then you are going to say, I am now going to do my very best. I am going to make it good again. Do you know what our fathers called this? They called it the workhouse. The workhouse. Because when the Lord converts a person, and then he comes into that workhouse and he begins to work. He is going to keep that law of God like he has never kept that law of God in his life. He is going to say, like that rich young ruler, good master, what good thing must I do that I may inherit that eternal life? And the Lord converted that jailer, that Philippian jailer. What did he say? He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Bunyan, he speaks of that pilgrim. And the minister, evangelist, he sent that pilgrim directly unto where? Children. He sent him to the wicket gate. And the next time he saw him, where did he find him? He found him at Mount Sinai. He found him at Mount Sinai. No, he did not go to that wicked gate. Why not? Congregation, He could not see the wicked gate. Do you not remember? When he was asked, he said, "No, I cannot see him." Christ, he is such a hidden person for the true people of the Lord. Do you believe that? What is the only opening? Because that man, he is seeking an opening. An opening into the kingdom of heaven. And he has seen that satisfaction is necessary. That there is no salvation outside of the satisfaction of the justice of God. And now he sees nothing of the gate. He does not understand that way, though that is laid before him Sabbath after Sabbath day. And he sees that that satisfaction is necessary. What is now the only opening that a man knows of in this world, outside of the revelation of that mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ? There is only one opening that that people know of. And that is the covenant of works. They were born in it. They were not created in it. No, it was made with Adam, our covenant head. But we were born in it. And that covenant of works that is ingrained within our nature. What is that covenant? That is, do this and thou shalt live. So it is broken. Yes, it is broken. But that brokenness is something that a man has to learn by experience. If you went to the theological school for 100 years, they would not be able to teach you the brokenness of the covenant of works. No, we need to come to experience in our own life, in our own heart, that that old covenant that is broken, that we may despair of that covenant. Because outside of the despairing of that old covenant, there is no place in our heart for that new covenant. Legalism relinquished. We say an earnest attempt. An earnest attempt in the way of legalism. That is, that I am going to make satisfaction. That is what it is in the life of the people. Can I myself make this satisfaction? Congregation, do you know such a life? Then a man, a woman, a boy or a girl, he does not dare, as we say, to step over a straw. Everything in his life that becomes sin. And he does not want to sin. Because he wants to make it good again. He wants to make satisfaction to that righteousness of God. What is it out of? It is out of love. Love to the Lord. Love to his people. Love to his day. Love to his house. Love to all of the institutions of the Lord. And yet, actually, it is a legalistic life. Why? Because I am trying to enter thereby. No, it is not the works that are wrong, as long as those works are according to his word, then it is not the washing of cups and platters. They must be according to the word. But then it is not the works that are wrong. But it is my motive that is wrong. Because this is now the way that I can satisfy that justice. No, it is not the love that is wrong. That love that is placed in the heart by the Lord, that cannot be wrong. But what is wrong? What is wrong? They do not understand. They have not yet experienced, though they may know it by the doctrine, they have not yet experienced brokenness of that covenant. And this they must experience. But our fathers, they have said, I hope that you will soon work yourself to death. I hope that does not take a long time. Because we must work ourselves to death. Because there is also a people who work themselves to life. Do you know some of those people? They've climbed the ladder. They've climbed the ladder of good works. And by those good works, they live. And by those good works, they have a claim upon God, upon heaven. But if it is now the work of the Lord, then a man works himself to death through an earnest attempt, an honest attempt, an attempt that comes out of love. But an attempt, if it is the Lord's work, that ends, as we see in our second thought, in an inescapable acknowledgement. But let us sing first, 102. 102, 1, 2, and 3. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 102. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Answer, by no means. We say it is an inescapable acknowledgement. By no means. That is now the death that our fathers, they are speaking about. When they say that a man, he must work himself to death. That is, the death of ourselves. That is not children, the death of our person. But that is the death of all of our ability. That is the death of our ability to make, as our fathers speak about here, satisfaction. Congregation, did you ever set yourself to work? By the Spirit of the Lord, the love that was living in your heart, that you had a desire that you would now make it right between God and your soul? How is it going? How is it going? Are you making satisfaction? Has the Lord shown Himself in any way yet to be satisfied? That you say, this is going well, and that I come closer and closer and closer unto the Lord. If it is going well, then we must put a question mark behind it. But if it is not going well, then we would say, then we still have some hope for you. You say that is all backwards. That is all upside down. It seems so. It is a life that is so discouraging sometimes to that people. When they are working and working and working to make that satisfaction. And then it is not going very well. Jacob, he said, all these things are against me. And so it is also in the life of the people, that all these things, they are going against them. Can we ourselves then make satisfaction? Answer, by no means. That is now what a person must learn, what he must experience. But how can he experience, how can a man actually be brought and come to say, as our fathers say here, in his own experience, by no means, only when he has tried those means? Do you think a soul gives up quickly? No, because that love that is burning in his heart, and if it is not in one way, then he is going to try it in another way. Is that also your life? But what do we read here when our fathers say, by no means? Then we read of a man who is brought to his wit's end. By no means. There are no means. Were you ever brought there? Maybe we asked that too early. Maybe we should first ask even if there was ever any desire in your heart that there would be satisfaction, that there would be a taking away, an overbridging of that gulf, that separation between God and your soul. Did you ever even make a beginning of that work? cannot be brought to the end if there was never a beginning. It is easy to speak doctrine. It is easy to repeat what we have learned in our catechism classes, boys and girls. That by the works of the law, no flesh is justified in the sight of God. That is easy to say that. It is something else to experience it. And that is now what our fathers are speaking about when they say, by no means. They are speaking about a very hard lesson. That is a lesson that is not typically learned in one day, although the Lord is free, but that is typically learned over many years. A man, he is going to try it how? He is going to try it by his own obedience. But it is impossible. Boys and girls, maybe your teacher, when you have been disobedient, then your teacher says, now you must be extra good. Extra good. And if you are extra good, then I'm going to overlook it. And then your teacher is satisfied. And that cannot be with the Lord. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because there is no such thing as to be extra good with the Lord. Have we not heard it? What is the requirement of the law of God? The law of God that is requiring perfection. And it requires perfection every single moment, in thought, in word, and in deed. Can you exceed perfection? Can you bring forth something that is more than perfect, in order that you may pay for something that was less than perfect in the past? That is impossible. Rome says it is not impossible. They speak about supererogatory good works, the good works of the saints that are over and above what is necessary for themselves. Foolishness. What does James say? Clean. He says, when I have done all, then I must say I have done what was my duty to do. Perfection. Every moment is our duty to do. And that present obedience, then it would be a perfect obedience that has merit in itself. But it cannot have double merit. So you understand, when there is only one sin in our life, only one thought, one word, one deed, that there is no possibility, none at all, that a man would make satisfaction to the justice of God concerning a single sin. There is no extra goodness. And that is due to the height of the requirement of that law of God. We heard it. The height of that requirement, that is perfection. And that is what is now savingly impressed upon the heart of the true people of the Lord. Was that ever savingly impressed upon your heart? The holiness of God. and the requirement of that holy law. By no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Thus our fathers, they say it is even worse. It is even worse. Not only do they say it is not possible to exceed the requirements that it may be for some payment, but they say it is impossible even to meet the requirements. It is impossible to meet those requirements of God's law each and any moment of our life. So that every moment that we are falling short of fulfilling that satisfaction of the justice of God, so that debt that cannot even remain the same, much less can it be reduced, there is only one thing that debt can do, and that is that it can increase. Paul said, the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. When I would do good, evil is present with me. He says, that is exactly my nature. That is my corruption. That is who I am. That is the experience of that heart. That is the experience of that life in that earnest attempt, so that soul that is despairing of what? Despairing of God? He was not looking to God. No, he has to despair of himself. That is now that dying life. That dying life, to despair of himself, that he may come to that inescapable acknowledgement that is by no means. Can we ourselves make this satisfaction? By no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. That is all the hope for self-help that has to be cut off. And the legalism that is living in our heart, that has to be relinquished. That has to be given up. That we would ever be able to make satisfaction, and we do not surrender so quickly. We do not surrender so easily. What has to happen? God must become too strong for us. Did he ever become too strong for you? As long as our heart is cleaving congregation to that old covenant, there is no place for the new one. But that new covenant, God's word that says it is a better one. It is a better one. Are there such people in our midst this day that are cleaving? You do not want to let it go. Cleaving to that old covenant. And you are at work to make satisfaction. And you have a hope of bringing some recompense and making it right between God and your soul. That is better than indifference, because Solomon says, drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. But the Lord has wakened you up from your drowsiness. But how is it going with your efforts? Bunyan's pilgrim, we said he turned aside. He turned aside and he was at Sinai. He was at the law. He will try to do it himself. Did he get relief? Read it. He got no relief. Do you know what we read? Bunyan writes, his burden became heavier. Is your burden becoming heavier too? The more you work, and the more you try to please the Lord, and to take away all that was in the past, and your burden that only becomes heavier. No relief. And then he saw lightning out of that mountain. Do you see that lightning too? And you fear. You fear the judgment because of your sin. Said that mountain was so high, he was afraid it was going to fall on him. It was going to crush him. Do you know that life that Bunyan is laying out there? That is not just from Bunyan. No, that is according to the Word of God. Because Paul says it is evident that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. And when evangelists found him, he says, how is it? How is it that you have turned so quickly out of the way? He said, I did not send you here. I did not send you here. No, you have chosen to go here. It is an old covenant. It is a broken covenant. And there can only come curses. And there can only come wrath out of that old covenant to a sinful man. But the Lord, he says, I have made a new one. A new one. He said, I have made a better one. And what is that? That covenant, that new covenant, is so simple. He said, I will be merciful to their unrighteousnesses. And their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. What are the requirements? What kind of covenant is it? It is a covenant of grace. It is a covenant of mercy. It is a covenant made for those who cannot make satisfaction themselves. Special for them. It is a covenant made for the people who are daily increasing their debt. Special for them. Are the requirements so high you cannot reach them? There is not a single requirement. There is not a single requirement from that people in that new covenant. There cannot be, because he knows they cannot bring in the least requirement. Oh, a covenant wherein it is all fulfilled from another side. Every jot, every tittle. Is there not something? And therefore, he speaks unto those who are laboring there's such a people in our midst. Laboring. Laboring. And laboring. And you cannot come up with it. Is that so in your life? The burden becomes heavier. And you see the flashing of the lightning. And you fear what the end of this will be. Or that eternal separation. And he speaks to such laboring people. And he says only this. Come. Come unto me. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Rest from all those labors. Take my yoke, he says. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest. Rest for your soul. Because my yoke is easy. It is not like that law. My burden, that is light. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, open our eyes. Open our eyes. That we may see what we are. That we may see who thou art. For a wretched, for a miserable, for an undone, for an impotent sinner who can labor, but who cannot satisfy. And thou hast satisfied everything. O give, Lord, then to come. O give to come. There are those in this hour, they say, Lord, I have no feet to come. I have no hands to take it. But that man, he had no feet to come either. And thou didst speak, and he said, Jesus made me whole. Oh, look upon us, Lord. It is thy day. Grant us a blessing in thy house of prayer. Bring us safely to our places. Keep each one in this week. Keep, watch over and protect from a sudden and an unprepared death. Teach us out of thy word. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 365. All the stanzas from the depths my prayer ascended unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. All the stanzas of Psalter 365. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.